For those of you here last night, I'm going to, you'll be a little familiar with what I did last evening, which was kind of combining the May devotional little talk along with the sermon for the Mass. And I'm going to do that same today and do so in focusing on Our Lady under the title of the Virgin Most Prudent from the Litany of Loreto. Saint Robert Bellarmine, today's saint, is a model of this virtue. He's a model of many virtues, and even from his very young age was always a very virtuous lad. They said that he always was constantly, from the time he reached the age of reason onwards, always working at his own personal piety, always striving after perfection, his whole life long, trying to improve in the spiritual life, trying to grow closer to God. And in doing so, he, from a very early age, asked God to achieve only two things in his life. He wanted to always grow in sanctity, in closeness to God, and always gain more souls and work for the gaining of more souls for his heavenly kingdom. And that's all he desired from life. Well, he put that into action from a pretty early age by entering into the Jesuit order as a teenager, and there studying in that order and eventually becoming a priest. But during that time, he was renowned even just merely amongst his fellow Jesuits, the people that were teaching him, and also the people that were studying along with him, that he was known to be that model of virtues across the board, and was always working at that aspect to his life, because of the fact that, and he stood out so much in this way, that right before he was even ordained, they commissioned him to go around and start preaching, working there for souls. And he was known, people would come from afar to actually hear him preach. All those things that he did was constantly working for that success and those two promises that he made towards our Lord in his life. Well, that eventually grew to him becoming a teacher in Rome, and eventually becoming bishop and cardinal of the Holy Catholic Church, and being able to exercise all of his virtues, but most especially that of prudence in those positions. As a teacher, he was put in charge of teaching subjects in Rome, specifically in the aid of people learning how to deal with controversial theological issues. That because it was shortly after the Council of Trent and shortly after the raging of the Protestant Reformation, that these clergy had to realize that there are contrary ideas to the faith, and there are ideas that were on the borderline of being contrary to the faith, and they needed to know how to deal with those specific issues. So what happened? They needed somebody to teach them that way, and that was St. Robert Bellarmine. And he was very successful in that, which is why he was eventually elevated to those positions of the bishopric and the cardinal. And in doing so, by bringing him up to that point of being a cardinal, they saw that there were other issues going on. Most interestingly, that issue of Galileo at the time. Galileo was supporting the Copernican idea of the sun being the center of the solar system and the earth revolving around the sun. And many times you see secular scholars attack the Catholic Church because of the fact that it did not support the idea that the sun could be possibly the center of the solar system. And that it condemned Galileo for this point. But when we actually study history, we see that that wasn't really the truth. And moreover, that in the handling of it, St. Robert Bellarmine and the church as a whole was very careful in what it said. It was very prudent in the way that it approached it. Up until this time, you have to remember, first off, Copernicus was a Catholic, and he was never condemned by the church for looking into these points. But secondly, that Galileo was not only warned about it, but was even given instruction by Robert Bellarmine about what he needed to do in order to maintain good standing. He was warned by St. Robert Bellarmine because at this point in time, there was very little evidence that showed that was demonstrable that the sun could have the earth revolve around it. And so, as such, it was a point that you know, St. Robert Bellarmine said, "I need evidence first." All that they could show is that they could see the sun moving from the earth. They had no real other point, and it was just Galileo was just scratching at it. In fact, secular historians that are honest about it will say that Robert Bellarmine was a better scientist than Galileo was, because he wasn't close-minded to the idea, but he needed, in order to change the way that the church and the world thought, he needed some actual proof first, where Galileo jumped to conclusions. But he also said that all of the church mind, based around the scriptures, has taught that the earth had the sun revolve around it. And if that was going to be wrong, or it going to be misunderstood in the laws of nature, and it could be demonstrated to them, then Galileo needed to be careful in the way he presented it, and that scriptural scholars needed to be careful in the fact that they had to go about looking how to explain the scriptures with the new scientific evidence, whereas Galileo attacked the problem with the hammer and said that the scriptures were wrong. And therein was where the condemnation came from. But St. Robert Bellarmine never completely closed that door off to scientific evidence. He just said that the church needs a different way of explaining things and approach it with that prudence, and warned Galileo about this, and warned that a condemnation was going to come to him if he didn't change his mindset. He got him to stop for a little while, but Galileo eventually went back and then, as we know, was eventually condemned. We also see the prudence in St. Robert Bellarmine in realizing the status of the world at that time, not just in the scientific realm, but in the world as the church stood. It was shortly after the Council of Trent. There was much in the need of reform. That's why Trent happened. There was much in the need of being able to bring people back to trusting their clergy and trusting those that were leading them, who up to this point, there were many poorly trained clergy, and up to this point, there were many clergy that were not following the rules of the aspects of morality well. And so St. Robert Bellarmine, being in charge of a diocese as a bishop, really made sure to implement these things well in his own diocese, starting with first and foremost, with his own example. He himself, as it was described, was very austere in his practices of virtue, that he was always striving to make sure that he himself was strict with his penance, that he himself was always strict with his own prayer schedule, and that he himself always lived a life above reproach in regards to morality. Then, in addition to that, he was always maintained the greatest charity towards those who were his neighbors. That if he was going to be severe, as with himself, and if he was going to be lenient, it was with those to whom he worked with. And that attitude provided that good example, which really fostered the devotion to piety in the people. And then he went about in implementing very strictly all of the things that came down from the Council of Trent, all of the changes which ensured that the clergy would be the leaders in morality and the leaders in education towards the matters of the faith, so that they could lead by their example more than just their words, and have a strong strength of faith that fell down from the top. And lastly, we see his prudence most especially in the cause that he himself presented. As a teacher, he had the opportunity to actually be the instructor of Saint Aloysius Gonzaga, a model of purity, a model of innocence, a model in his youth of being a good, virtuous person. And that model being there not only was deserving of canonization, but was exactly the type of saint that the church needed in those times. And so Saint Robert Bellarmine, who I'm sure worked with many a holy person, really strived to promote the cause of Saint Aloysius and was blessed enough to see his own beatification in his lifetime. And finally, ultimately, he himself would die and later be beatified and canonized, as we know, and become a doctor of the church. So, the virtue of prudence, Our Lady as the virgin most prudent, where does that fall to us today? Where does that lesson from St. Robert Bellarmine come to us today? Well, we're here on the 13th of May, the first day of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima, the first day of the 100th anniversary, here to attend Mass and to pray the Rosary all together after the Mass is completed. And that, in and of itself, is a prudent action. Why? Because when the world thinks about Fatima, and the world thinks about what is necessary in for what is good for society, there is very little in that approach that is ever prudent. On the one hand, you have the secular-minded world, which thinks that everything has to be done through geopolitics or fighting of wars or by looking only to man as the answer to the world, and to looking only to its own personal gain and only to its own selfish motives in life, which perpetuate the problems that we see around us. And then on the other hand, you have people who are imprudent in the religious aspect of life when they see it's, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people that have said, oh, it's the 100th anniversary of Fatima coming up, and you know, something awful just has to happen, or some cataclysmic event just has to happen, or there's going to be some great sign and wonder in the sky. I just know it's going to happen. Having that absolutism towards some sort of great event just because it's the 100-year anniversary. That's also imprudent, because we don't know, that's not for us to know if those type of things are going to happen. It could. Something large could happen this year, and something large could not happen this year. But what we do know is the message from Our Lady herself, and what we are supposed to do, that we are supposed to be the ones that are praying for our world, that we are the ones that are supposed to be praying for our church, that there's a real possibility that that third secret of Fatima probably included the trials of the church that we find ourselves in now, the situation where the hierarchy has apostatized. We also know that Our Lady promises peace only by one means, through the rosary and the scapula. And it's those things that each and every one of us, by doing our part today, can help promote. And it's by trusting in Our Lady that she will promote that even by the fewness of our own prayers. But if we have that trust and that burning desire for those intentions, she will bless those intentions for us. And that we know that our world needs conversion. And it's through that same grace given through Mary, that same grace that is obtained purely by prayer and sacrifice of people like ourselves, that we can gain more souls to the faith. We're not in a time where we see hundreds and hundreds of people coming every day to the true Mass and to the true sacraments and practicing the true faith. No, we are here as a few, a strong, but that few can be a strong number if we take hold of what Our Lady has given us in the means to sanctify ourselves, in the means to sanctify others, in the means to promote peace in our world. That has to be our focus, the tangible aspect of what is promised by Mary in throughout all of her apparitions, but most especially at Fatima. This is an important year as the 100th anniversary, but it's an important year because it needs to serve as a reminder to us that Our Lady's words have not been heeded up to this point. And that it's because she has not been heeded to this point. It's because so few people are faithful to prayer and sacrifice that the world finds itself in the state that it is in now. We can't control what everybody else does. But the prudent aspect of our lives is realizing that we can control what we do. We can control our own devotion and our own willingness to sacrifice and work for souls. Our own willingness to follow the two promises that St. Robert Bellarmine made in his life. The promise to always work for his own personal sanctity and the promise to always work for the good of souls. We do that by our prayers and our sacrifices. It's by that means the church is strengthened, the church grows, and it's by that means in which we can all work to save our souls and the souls of the neighbors around us. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.